This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Hello, friends.
Hi, friends.
I said friends. I took your
know.
Call. I was like, I need to say something different. So.
I know. She usually says, hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone. Yeah. I just thought, man, I need to mix it up a little bit. I'm a little predictable, but oh well.
Yeah. Well, I'm very predictable with my hi, friends.
Hi, friends. And bye, friends.
Bye, friends. Bye, friends.
It's so funny. It's kind of our thing.
I was going to say, most of the time when I see people in real life, it's either hi, friends, or hey, girl, hey, or hi, boo.
Hi, boo.
So pretty much my norm, folks.
That's good. Boy, it has been a few weeks, folks, since we have been with you. It's been a minute again.
Jen has not been enjoying
the
few weeks without you.
No, I would have rather done anything than what I was doing. But yeah, for me, I had the flu and the week I had a vacation scheduled, not a full week, but I had vacation time scheduled. So, but anyway,
darn it.
I know, right? Caught the flu, and then the flu worked its way into bronchitis. So I was literally down for like 2 weeks. And then my husband got the flu last week. So the week I had bronchitis, he had the flu. He's still recovering. Yeah, it's been no fun in the Osborne household.
Oh, gosh, you need to run through just spraying Lysol everywhere.
Well, I did start doing that after a time. Like every time we got up, I would spray all around the bed. I'd spray the air conditioner. You know, I just trying to make sure I got everything just as clean as could be. And it was one of those things. But I've had the flu one, maybe two times in my adult life. And I just forget how miserable it is. You just don't want to do anything for days and days. Except lay around.
Yeah, it's rough.
Oh, it was terrible. It was so terrible. So yeah,
you're
I would have
depleted of energy. You feel like death. Cold chills, burning up.
The aches were really bad.
Oh, the aches are the worst.
They were really, really bad. And when it worked into bronchitis, it was a little scary for me. I had this situation where I would go to cough and all the air would be out of my lungs, but then my lungs would close and I couldn't take in a breath. And it was really scary because it was almost like this panicked feeling of, I cannot breathe.
Wow.
And it would take a few seconds for my lungs to relax enough for me to take in air. So, the doctor just said it exacerbated my asthma, but that was scary. One night Bill said he could hardly sleep because I kept doing it. I kept jumping up and couldn't catch my breath. And then I would be okay. And I'd go back to sleep and then I'd do it again. And he said he was just afraid I was going to quit breathing in the middle of the night. So,
yeah.
I know.
Sweet
I hated
Bill.
To worry him. I hated to worry him.
Taking care of our baby Jake.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
And then so for me, that was me, but for you, you've been doing stuff. You've been doing stuff.
Busy.
Just stuff. Yeah. I was
doing
like, what can I say? What
things.
can I not say?
Yeah. Had a big yard sale. That was fun, I guess.
Well, that it was
nice to get rid of things. You
started
just collect.
To say.
Yeah. Yeah, you just collect a lot of stuff, you know? So I feel like I'm just in a purging season, getting rid of all the things.
Yeah, isn't that great when you can do that? When you can, like, focus on an area or a specific thing and clean it out, and you feel like, wow, I've made some progress. It looks so much better.
Yeah, winter is just so stinking rough. You don't want to do anything. Like,
Mm-mm.
you just want to, like, hibernate and save all your energy. Well, I feel alive again. So, like, and it's one of those things, like, Once you start doing it, you can kind of keep doing it, you know, but
Yeah.
that first initial like doing it is like the hardest thing ever, especially in the winter.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
I guess that's why yard sales don't happen in the winter.
That could be some of it. I'm sure the other half of it is just that it's cold and miserable and people aren't out
Yeah.
and around.
Yeah. Who would want to do that?
I don't know.
Blech.
Alaskans, maybe?
I mean, when else are they going to have a yard sale?
Right.
Well, I mean,
They have a summer,
they,
but it's just colder,
yeah.
cooler.
Their summer's probably like our fall slash winter. It's rough, rough.
Anyway,
I could never live in Alaska.
we're gonna have somebody from Alaska email us that's listened and say, here's what it's like, people.
Yeah, I have a friend who goes, she has family in Alaska. So she goes to Alaska because her grandbabies are there for a few months at a time. And I'm like, I don't know how you do it. Like, especially because not only the cold, but there's like seasons where it's dark for like, I think like 6 months at a time. There's no daylight. It's just dark. And I'm like, I don't know how I would survive. Like, I already struggle during winter just because I'm like depleted of vitamin D and sunshine. I don't know how I would make it.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it in those places where
Yeah.
they're just days and days of dark. Because I would get depressed. I don't know how people do that, but it's just like with anything, people get used to
Yeah.
a certain environment, right? And
Yeah.
they just learn how to live their lives within that
Yeah.
environment. But me thinking of me being in that kind of environment where it's like, months of dark or whatever, I couldn't do it. I don't, I
And
just,
taking all your daily supplements, you would have
yeah. Yeah.
to
Have a,
replace, because that vitamin D from the sun, it's just so important. And for me anyhow, like, oh my gosh.
Well, I bought, speaking of vitamin D, I bought like a therapy light that mimics sunshine for the wintertime. So
Yep.
while it's not actually giving me vitamin D, it is mimicking the effects of the sun and that it
Yeah.
helps to not be as depressed.
Yes. I had a sweet friend of mine. Her name's Julie. Julie, if you're out there listening, she gave me one because she serves on the prayer team with me and heard how bad winters were for me. And she
Oh,
just brought me one of those little
oh,
lights so I could
that's so
sit
sweet.
there and have my coffee in the morning with my little fake sunlight.
Oh,
I know.
how
So
sweet and
shout
loving
out
that
to
is.
sweet Julie, who had great compassion for me in my. I mean, I will tell you, like, literally, I went home from church one day when it's just started getting cold, when the cold was in the air, and I cried all the way home from church. I cried my
Wow.
eyes out. It
Wow.
affects me so much. I get the winter blues so bad. And my family is like, what is happening?
Yeah, it's just
I'm
seasonal.
like, I can't. I
Yeah,
can't.
I get it. I mean, yeah, winters can be very depressing.
Yeah. You would think that, 43 years here in Kentucky, and this was actually a wild, mild winter, praise the Lord, but that I would be used to it. But not used to it. So I'm super thankful that God gave us a mild winter though. I needed
Oh
that.
yeah, that was good. That was good.
Yeah.
Well, let's jump into today's topic.
Yeah. Shani had a good one.
Yeah, so the topic tonight is about putting human characteristics on an inhuman God. And
Yeah.
I have noticed a lot where people have interpreted certain things that they feel like God is doing in their life, or they'll read a certain scripture and they'll put a spin on it that is like a human spin
Yep.
when God is not human. And it kind of makes me a little bonkers because it's like, oh, well, God must think, I've heard him say, God must think this and God must think that. And he therefore he did this. And it's like, God is very clear in his word that his thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways. He is not human in the way that we are human. He is not marred by sin. His judgments are perfect. He expresses his emotions perfectly. Like, he just is different than we are. Of that, I'm grateful.
As a reader of the Bible, I do the same thing though. I will tell you, I mean, not all the same thing, but I'm thinking when I'm reading the Bible, like, God, that wasn't fair, or whatever else, whatever emotion, I come with, because my thoughts are not his thoughts. I can't even think like he thinks. So it does really, it's like there's such a limitation on our human brain and what we know because of how we experience this world and our circumstances and situations. That sometimes it's really easy to forget that and to like read the word, especially the Old Testament. Oh, my Lanta. But the Old Testament, where you're looking at God wiping out, the world. And it's like, what did you do that for, God? Like, so when we're singing songs about a loving and a good father, it's sometimes hard, and I've struggled for many years to wrap our brains about how is that good. So I do have compassion for it, and I get it, but also his ways are not our ways.
They are not. And I think we do it. And I'm not gonna say I don't do it or haven't done it. I try to be very aware of when I do it. And I, for whatever reason, can really hear it when other people do it. But we try to logically figure out God at times. And it's not that God is illogical. It's not what I'm saying, but he is not human. And he doesn't like he isn't bound by time. He doesn't move linearly through time. Like he's all over the place. He created time, right? So we want to explain everything he does in this logical, neat little box. And you cannot at times. It does not make him bad because he's not bad. There's no darkness in him. He is 100% good. But just because you can't understand his ways does not make his ways imperfect. They are perfect. We just cannot, in our humanness, comprehend it. And I've just heard some really out there stuff lately about trying to define God and what he does, and they define it from a human thought and perspective. And it's like, you can't box him in like that.
And our brains literally just want to do that. Like, especially our trauma brains, and we all have trauma in some way or another. We are trying, our brains want to just survive, and they just want to bring everything back to peace. So you're questioning and making judgments and doing all these things so you can make sense of whatever situation or chaos just happened, just so you can be stabilized, really, in your emotions. So you're trying to logically do the same thing with God and reading the word and things like that. Like, obviously that doesn't make sense in my brain, like it just, and there's no reasoning behind it. But I love when Jen brought up this topic, because it kind of brought me to our podcast, why we named our podcast what we named it. Jen and I, Jeremiah 29:11, it was very special to Jen and I, still is very special, but especially in deeper, darker times in our life, this verse kind of carried me, and I know it did Jen as well. But the verse, and I'll just read it, but Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you future and a hope. And I really just want to highlight, for I know the plans I have for you. And sometimes our plans don't line up with the plans he has for us. And that's really hard, because we hear that verse And I know that verse has probably been twisted so many times by so many brains trying to make it fit their needs and their circumstance. And I've done it, and I'm sure Jen's done it. So it's perfectly natural and no condemnation here. But it's the highlight is for he knows the plans he has for us. And sometimes those plans don't make sense, but if we can trust that he knows the plans he has for us, then we can really sit in a space of peace. And that's where I feel like that I turned a table really only recently, like in the last year, maybe 2 years, if I'm being honest, where I've just had some spiritual maturity, I guess, in my life happen and shift and came to a place where it's more trusting of the plans and that he's got us. It might not look the way that I thought it was going to look or things like that, but just trusting that he does know the plans and that they are for our good, whether we think they are or not, they are for our good. So it allows me to just take steps of faith more. It allows me to walk in obedience more because I trust the maker. I trust that he has me and that his plans for me are for good. So,
And not for evil.
and not for evil, to give us a future and a hope. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
It really does remind me with you saying that, Kenda Moss, a friend of this podcast, someone that we dearly love,
Sweet Kenda.
she had the one of the stories she talked about in she spoke at CST. And if you a listener, if you're new to our podcast, there is an explanation, almost said an exclamation, an
Exclamation
explanation.
point.
I know, right? An explanation on CST, just go back and give it a listen. But she was one of our speakers at CST, and she had just pointed out how when Joseph went through the things he went through, God was with him. When he was thrown into prison, God was with him. When he was accused of rape, God was with him. Like it defies our human logic. Like, how could God do that? How could God be with him and let him go through those things? I feel like God is the ultimate weaver of our destinies, and is so wonderful in how he can weave together good for so many people, so many different ways, out of the most unexpected circumstances. And you saying that reminded me of that. And then there was a phrase that I've always carried with me that said, God doesn't cause evil. He's the only one who can make a good come from it. And it's like, yeah, so I see that in like Joseph's story. Like, God had a plan where evil was meant towards Joseph. God used it for good. And that takes an element of trust. When you're not understanding what's going on, don't try to put human characteristics on God. Early in my walk, I did it a lot, right? I said, I struggle a lot. I have depression. I've had this horrible upbringing. I don't really have any family that surrounds me and loves me. And therefore, God must not really love me. That was my narrative, because the proof for me was my history, right? That just reinforced that incorrect belief that I had. And I had to, I slowly stepped back from that and said, that's, you know what? That's not what the Word of God says. And while I don't understand why I went through the things I went through, I know God will use them for His glory and His divine purpose, right? And it took a step to say, I cannot put my human expectations on God to explain him away in a human way that I can get just because I can't understand.
And this goes back to kind of our podcast we just did about judgment. There's nothing wrong with walking around the earth and observing things and just calling things for what they are, right? Like, But the problem where we get into judgment is deciding why or asking why. Why did that person do that? Or why,
Or attributing the why.
coming up with the why on our own. And that's what we do. We're judging God. Why God? That's the first thing. Let's be real and let's be honest, especially up to a couple years ago. That's the first thing I would ask when something wrong would happen. Why God? You know, because your brain immediately wants to go and fix things. Like, there has to be a reason why.
You want the logic of it, right? You want to be
Yes,
able to explain it.
exactly. But you can't explain it away. And God didn't do it anyway because his plans are not to harm me. The world did it, free will did it, you know, like, and then God uses it and God does turn it around and makes it good and all those things. But that is the easiest thing for us to do in our human nature is to go and play the judge, which again, we discussed in judgment is only for the role of God, unless that's your profession. And then you have to play
Different kind of judge, different
the
kind of
role of
judge,
God. You're
right?
getting, right, you're getting paid to do that. So you should probably do that. But anyway,
Right, do your job well.
God is the judge. So when we sit in the seat of judgment and ask why and try to get those things, then we're playing God. That's what we're
Yeah.
doing. So again, I'm reading How to Stop the Pain. I know I have said it 7 zillion times. Read the stinking book. It's incredible. And I will say that that is why that I'm trusting more now than I ever did, because I'm stepping out of the role of the Messiah as much as I can. In my human nature, we step back into it over and over again, but as much as I can, and I just trust him more. And I don't question him as much anymore because he's not doing it, folks. He's not causing us harm. Like, he's not. You know, sometimes, yes, sometimes he could swoop in and save us. Yes, he's God. Of course he could do that. But we don't need to know why he doesn't save us and do the miracle that we, you know, ask for. We don't need to know why. His plans are good for us. And he's got it. So easier said than done. I know.
Oh my gosh. And I think if you don't find a way to do that, you will begin to lay accusations at God's feet, which are not true. Like,
Right.
God, you caused this to happen, or God, you didn't prevent this from happening, or just all the things, because again, we're trying to, in our human way, explain why it wasn't stopped, or that God didn't do something. Like, you have no idea what God is doing.
Or the religious way to say it. Ready for this? The religious way to say it is God did that to teach me a lesson.
Oh, ugh. That makes me want to throw up.
Because that's, you know, that's really what's happening there. No, he did not.
God is not like us.
No. So, but religion, man, it's just that little twist that just screws people up for a really, really long time. So, yeah, read the book, How to Stop the Pain, Stop the Judgment. And like Jen said, you know, just realize his ways are not our ways, but his ways are perfect, and we can just trust him. We can trust him
Yeah.
with
And
our whole stinking lives.
accept that there are going to be mysteries at time
Yeah.
about God. I firmly believe that God is so big and so vast and so mind-blowingly awesome that we can only grasp just little bits of him because he is so, like, he's so big. Like, he's bigger than our universe. I mean, I look at pictures of the universe and I'm just like, I'm floored. You know, the eclipse, I was floored. And I think, you know
Yeah.
what? That's so tiny in comparison into who God is and how big he is. And so, yeah, it's
And
I
that's what can keep us in just awe of the
yeah.
Lord. Like, just holy moly. I mean, that's why our little brains cannot figure these things out, right? Like, because he is so big.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah.
He's almost unknowable. I mean, he's given us glimpses into who he is through his word. He gave us glimpses into his nature through Jesus and his Holy Spirit. But he is beyond us.
And I
But
love like the studying his names. I think that's always super helpful. The name, like all of his names that he has given us.
yeah.
I love that because it does kind of like help our small brains and worldly brains just to be like, oh, this is characteristics of our Father, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I can use those ways to pray for people and obviously pray for myself and my family, just calling out those names, you know, great
Yeah.
physician, the great I am, you know, like Yahweh, all the names. So it just makes it a personal thing for me, I
Yeah,
think,
it's
too.
good. That's good. Yeah. Well, because you get to know the nature of the Father, because even in all his bigness and his vastness and his awesomeness, he invites us into a relationship with him as a child. And that just is mind blowing. I'm just so grateful. Just so grateful.
And we get to come to the kingdom like little children. How fun is that?
I'm telling you, it's good stuff.
That's his favorite.
So, friends, your challenge is to just look at those areas where you feel like maybe you've put human judgment on God, as far as trying to explain away either good or bad things that you feel like he's done and accusations or thoughts you may have laid at his feet. That's where I
I try to keep
started.
it there.
Yeah. But anyway.
But he's so mighty to save. I'm telling you can pick it up 100 times and give it back to him, and he'll keep taking it back. So it's
Yeah.
okay. It
Oh,
takes
yeah.
practice and to
Yes.
realize we are not perfect. Thank God he sent Jesus
Thank
so
God.
he can see us like Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Well, all right, folks, we're gonna wrap it up there. Until next time, we'll see ya.
Bye, friends.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Podcast copyright 2024, Parable Road, LLC.